The story of the birth of Jesus has, just like a film or TV show would have, a cast of characters with various roles in that story. Some are seen as the stars, while others make cameo appearances, and actually are often dismissed as having no major part in the story, or so it's thought. The three wise men come under that latter category for many. Some even dismiss the three who were the first to learn about the birth of Christ as fictional characters. My next guest set out to discover whether these three players in the story truly existed, where they came from, and their importance in the story of Jesus, as well as the region that the story took place. He shares what he learned in his book, The Mystery of the Magi, The Quest to Identify the Three Wise Men, by Father Dwight Longenecker. How are you today, Father?
I'm doing fine. Good to hear from you.
DwightLongenecker.com is the Father's website. We have a link over at our page as well. You can get your copy of The Mystery of the Magi, because we've seen a genre over the last decade or so, Father. It's called historical fiction. And in a way, you've used history to dispel fiction, haven't you?
I've tried to. I need to add a little rider as well to what you said. If people go, people are welcome to go to my website to read my blog and listen to my podcast. But the edition of this book is actually getting in short supply, so I don't have very many left, and neither does the publisher. But they tell us that if they go to Amazon, they should be able to get one. So I'm just putting that out there for your listeners.
And if Amazon is out, there's private sellers as well that have it available as well. That's the nice thing about Amazon. If the source runs out, there's always a resource.
Yes. But and you mentioned about...
I'm sorry, I mentioned too about how you're using history to dispel fiction in a variety of ways.
Yes, with the story of the wise men, what has happened over the years is that it has been encrusted, if you like, with lots of extra legendary and mythical elements in a way that no other story from the New Testament has done. And there are interesting reasons for this, but basically the story that we all tell ourselves at Christmas time is a rather magical story of you know, wizards from a faraway land, rather like Gandalf and Dumbledore, who come up with the secret wisdom and follow a magical star across the desert sands on a long journey. And they even have exotic names, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And these three kings meet and come to worship the Messiah. Well, it's a charming story, but actually many of those details, in fact, none of those details are in Matthew's gospel. And so what I did was go back and find out why this story has accumulated such legends, and I pared them away and went back to what Matthew said. So in a way, those who are fond of the charming Christmas story might be disappointed with my book, but those who are interested to find the foundational historical foundation of the Gospels will be delighted with the book.
In a way, I mean, the impression is that the three were just wanderers on camels through the deserts, going about their own way. Would it be more appropriate to say that the three wise men were actually, I guess in the modern day, we would call them ambassadors?
Yes. My view is that they were ambassadors. They were on a diplomatic mission from the king of Nabatea in his capital, Petra, across the border to Judea. Now, the Nabateans were the nation that controlled the Arabian Peninsula. They were a trading nation in the time of our Lord's birth, and they ran trade routes, trade caravans between Yemen in the east and Gaza, the port of Gaza in the west, and also north and south between Egypt and Asia Minor and Babylon and so forth. And so it was diplomats from that court that I suggest were actually the wise men, the courtiers who went to visit first Herod and then on to pay homage to the baby Jesus.
It's the book of Matthew. Matthew was the one who put the spotlight on the three wise men. Of course, it's Matthew, John, Mark, and Luke. Does it add to the importance of the element of the three wise men that Matthew was the only one who put the spotlight on them? Because the other route could have been, the four of them could have gotten together, okay, let's get our story straight. Let's all go with the same path so everyone's going to buy what we're going to go out there and sell. But they didn't do that.
Yes. We have to remember that the Gospels are history written through a theological lens. In other words, they're history with a purpose and a meaning. And sometimes some biblical scholars will say the meaning is all that matters, and the history doesn't matter. An Orthodox, a traditional Christian like myself, will say, no, actually, it's important that we look at the history because Jesus Christ is God's Son who comes into human history, and therefore the history matters. Now, Matthew's particular point in recording this story, and you're right that Mark, Luke, and John do not record the story, is that we have to understand the context. Matthew is writing to the early Christians around the area of Judea who were Jewish. And we know from the Acts of the Apostles that there was a huge controversy in the church in the very early decade, the first decades or so of the church, and that is the message of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people in the world, or only for Jews? And Matthew is in the middle of all this controversy, and he obviously is coming down on the side of, no, the gospel is for everybody. And that's why he especially brings in and reminds them of the story of the wise men, who were pagans, who were non-Jews, who came to worship the Christ child.
That's why you see, too, if you attend a non-denominational Christian church, it's often the book of Matthew, as well as Ephesians, that are most frequently used as the foundation text for those churches.
It could be, yes. I'm not that familiar with that idea, but it sounds about right.
Talking with Father Dwight Longenecker and his book, The Mystery of the Magi, The Quest to Identify the Three Wise Men. DwightLongenecker.com is the Father's website. You can find The Mystery of the Magi available on Amazon, either through Amazon. There are private sellers there as well. It's a fantastic read if you are a fanatic for history as well as faith, and a combination of the two all comes together, obviously, in The Mystery of the Magi, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I mentioned in the intro, too, about the cameo roles of people who played just so many important parts. If you look through, as we mentioned, Matthew is the only one who spotlights the three wise men. You have Joseph of Arimathea, who all of a sudden pops up and says, "I'll entomb Jesus." Of course, you have Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, who technically has a cameo appearance. If you overlook the small, you take away from the picture of the big, don't you?
Yes. And we have to remember that a lot of these characters who do, as you said, pop up in cameo roles, remember the Gospels are written, we're 2,000 years removed from these events. And the Gospels, especially Matthew, excuse me, and Mark, are written within the context of the early church. And Matthew especially is written within the context of the early church, within a decade or two of the events in Jerusalem, Judea area, where a lot of the people who would have been his hearers would have remembered the events and would have known the characters involved. So if he doesn't lay out the whole story and all the details that as much as we would like about St. Joseph or Joseph of Arimathea or Mary Magdalene or some of these secondary parts, it's because his hearers would have already known those other stories and may even have known the people and known the details that unfortunately have been lost to us.
In your book, The Mystery of the Magi, you use, of course, the words of the book of Matthew, history, archaeology as well. Did astronomy play a role in your work as far as bringing concrete to the abstract?
Sorry, did what play a role?
Did astronomy play a role in your work to bring the concrete to the abstract?
Yes, it does, because we were confronted with the phenomenon of the so-called Bethlehem star.
Right.
And the fanciful, sort of the charming story I described gives us the idea that the star sort of led the wise men across the desert on this sort of mysterious, magical journey. Matthew doesn't actually say that. He says that the wise men said, "We saw his star rising in the east." Now, this is terminology that is used by astrologers, and astrology was very popular in the ancient world. Every court, every king, every prince would have had his court astrologers who were studying the heavens to try to foretell the future to give advice to the king. And these astrologers used terminology about stars rising. First of all, they didn't distinguish between planets and stars. And so what the present-day astronomers believe is that they're referring to the planet Jupiter, which is the royal planet, rising within a particular constellation. Some say Pisces, some say Leo, some say Aries, the ram. There's difference of opinion about this. But the general idea is that the astrologers saw the royal star planet or star rising within a constellation associated with the Jews, and drew the conclusion that a new king was arising for the Jews. Therefore, they come to worship the king of the Jews. And they come to the present king of the Jews, Herod the Great, and they go to his court in Jerusalem saying, where is this new king of the Jews? And of course, Herod says, what king of the Jews? What are you talking about? And he's famously paranoid, and so he therefore gets pretty upset about this threat to his throne. And we know the rest of the story after that. So yes, they were probably astrologers. And one of the interesting things I bring out of my book is that in a temple in the Nabataean territory, this is in the present-day Jordan, the archaeologists have discovered a stone zodiac, which proves that the Nabataean priests, the Nabataean worshippers, actually had an astrological dimension to their faith.
Was it challenging to tell the story that you wanted to tell, fill in the details through the history and the facts that you had been able to learn and to present in The Mystery of the Magi? Was it challenging to do that without putting any sort of blanket or muffling the spirit of the story?
Well, I didn't think so, because the book is not actually an inspirational book or a religious book. Although I'm a Catholic priest, this is not a kind of inspirational read about, you know, things like wise men still seek him, or if you only follow your star, you will find the desire of your heart kind of thing. Those are all preaching points, which are valid if people want to preach on along those things. But this is not a sermon or an inspirational book. It's a book of history.
Correct.
And in that, I believe it is actually inspiring and encouraging, because believers will come back and say, and non-believers too, I hope, will come back and say, hey, you know, this story of the Magi, which maybe we tended to write off as a Christmas fairy tale, actually, this makes a lot of sense. I can see that this is rooted in history, that Matthew knew what he was talking about. It really did happen.
That's certainly how I took Father Longenecker's work, too, as adding to, at least through the book of Matthew, what your initial understanding of the three wise men is all about. The Mystery of the Magi, The Quest to Identify the Three Wise Men, available on Amazon through Amazon itself. Private sellers have their issues up there as well. You can also follow Father Longenecker's writings and views. He had a great column, which we've linked to on our webpage too recently, in Daily Caller, comparing the region now versus the region then, which is also, as his book is, very insightful. So you can read that and more at DwightLongenecker.com. Father Dwight Longenecker, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for the education that you provide, through your other realm of work, the inspiration and spiritual guidance you give. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.